Go back to Romans 7 there. So Paul is talking about sin. He's saying there's sin that's present there, which is battling against me, and I'm not living up to the desires of my heart. I'm not living up to the perfect standard of the law, even though I desire to, even though I want to. And that's because he's under the power of sin. Jesus did say, he who sins is a slave to sin. So in that sense, we lose that battle to sin. Every time we commit an act of sin, we're under its power. Doesn't mean that it controls and dominates everything about our life, but at that moment, we've been enslaved to it. We've lost. We've been defeated. And we all experience that. But thank God, Romans 8 verse 1, there's no condemnation, and that the Lord cleanses us from all sin as we confess our sin to Him. See, that's different than somebody not having any degree of holiness within their life, any victory over sin. Now, kind of a technical point, there's a difference between battling with the flesh and what Paul says being in the flesh. When he uses the term in the flesh, he is describing a non-Christian. And look what it says in Romans 8, verse 8. Just so then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirits. That's our basic identification now. We're in the spirit and we're not in the flesh. The flesh doesn't control every aspect of our life. We have a new identity. We have a new relationship with the flesh. I'm in the spirits. You don't go in and out of the spirit. Now, I do agree that there's a sensitivity to the spirit that we need to have in our life. That's different than what Paul's talking about here. To be in the spirit is a Christian. To be in the flesh is a non-Christian. In Paul's technical terms. I know we throw those around today, and I think we don't use them as quite as literally as the Bible, but for Paul in Romans 8, to be in the spirit is a Christian. To be in the flesh is a non-Christian. He says, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. Look also at verse 7. It says, because the carnal mind is at enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. Paul in Romans 7 here is subject to the law of God. He delights in it. He wants to live it out. But he sees another problem, another law, another power working against him. And he says that sin that dwells in the flesh. So now sin is no longer our tyrant, our master. That power has been broken, but it's still present. And Paul says, that's in my flesh. And that's where we battle. And that's a struggle that goes on. And that's why Paul's saying, some of the things I want to do, I don't find myself doing. But it's not someone that's completely dominated by sin. He's talking about living a life that he desires to. I think all of us here want to live a life that's pleasing to the Lord. If you have the Spirit of God in you, you want to do what's right. But we don't always do that. And it's frustrating. That's why Paul cries out, who's going to deliver me from this? He could just hear the intensity in his words. And that's the intensity that we experience. We want deliverance. Why don't you look there at verse 24, exactly what Paul says. It says, oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me? He's not asking for maturity. He's asking for deliverance from this body of death. That's the problem. It's this physical body that sin resides in. That's the problem that we now have. And God has one solution, ultimately. He doesn't say just yield enough and it'll go away. Paul's asking for deliverance from this body of death. The only way for this to take place is when this body dies. God's going to let it die, go back to the dust, and raise it up to newness of life, and then it'll match that redeemed spirit that we have. And in heaven, we'll have that perfect unity. Until then, you will battle. And there's no shortcuts, there's no getting around it. You just have to continue to rely upon God's grace, rely upon the power of His Holy Spirit. But until we're out of this body is reclaimed, regenerated, renewed, we're going to battle. That's the lot of the life of the Christian. Because look what Paul says in Romans 8 and verse 22. Verse 21. Here's where we're at. He says, because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. So even creation has that curse upon it. For we know that the whole earth that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. And not only they, but we also. Haven't you experienced that, like a groaning? It's like you want deliverance. You want free from this sin. And it's that sin that dwells in the physical body. It says we have the first fruits of the Spirit. That adds to the problem. God gives us a new nature, and then He deposits the Holy Spirit in us. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit's like a down payment of what's to come. And so we have a taste of the eternal life of what's to come with the presence of the Holy Spirit within us. So we know what it is, and we've tasted it to a degree, and we long for it. And we want deliverance. We don't want to live that life in the flesh that's controlled, that's submitted to. We don't want to yield to sin any longer. We have a new nature, and we have the Spirit of God. And that's why the battle is so intense. A non-Christian, they sin, and it's enjoyable to them. That's the way it is. There's no battle. There's no like, oh, I don't want to do this any longer. The Bible says in John 3 that men love darkness rather than lights. That's the state of the world. They're not experiencing what we're experiencing every time we sin. There's a grief that's there. There's a like, oh, that there's a wretchedness about me. I can't stand it. I don't want to do that, but I find myself giving into sin. And he says we're groaning because we're new creatures. We have the Holy Spirit within us. Here's what we're waiting for. Look very closely. He says, we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. It's very clear, as Paul describes in Romans 6, 7, and 8, if you did a careful study, what Paul says is you have a redeemed spirit, and the power of sin's been broken over your life. You're no longer under its tyranny, but you're in a body of flesh that now is at a point you can either yield for righteousness or yield as instruments for sin. And there's choices that we make on a day-by-day basis, a moment-by-moment basis. But what happens is sin comes in and dwells in our body. I don't know exactly how that happens. That's what Paul says in verse 18 of Romans 7. And so what God's going to do, He's going to redeem this physical body by allowing it to die, resurrecting it, making it a new body where sin will no longer have any influence or any place that's there. And that's when we'll be in heaven. We'll be like Jesus Christ. We all long for that. The Bible says we're groaning within us. So there's that intense groaning in our heart. We want to have that ultimate freedom from sin. And the bottom line is that happens at death. That's when we experience that liberty. And when the Lord raises our body and redeems it, that's His plan. Until then, Romans 7 is your life, is my life. There's no getting around it. There's a power that sin wants to come in and dominate and control us. And we're going to find ourselves living out Romans 7 on a day-by-day basis. I know others would want to tell you different. Oh, there's victory. Just claim this and believe this and quote this verse. I see Paul here with an agony that's going on that I think we all experience, it would say. I know exactly what he's talking about. Verse 15, for what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice, but what I hate, that I do. So Paul says, I don't understand it. Some of the translations say, I don't know it. And it is interesting that the word know in the Bible does have that sense of an intimacy. The scriptures say, Adam knew his wife and they bore a child, obviously talking about, to intimately know. I think that's what Paul's talking about. This isn't really what I want. This isn't really my desire to live in this sort of way. My real desire is to live according to the law of God. But I find myself not practicing what I want, and the things that I hate, I find myself doing those things. It says, if I then I do what I will not to do, I agree that the law, that it's good. So again, it's not the law, it's Paul and his weakness. But now it is no longer I who do it. And that's going back to Romans 6. It's no longer that renewed me on the inside where Paul says, I was crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And this life I live by faith in the Son of God. The new heart, the new nature, it's no longer that aspect of myself, that sin. And you say, well, who is it? Well, Paul goes on to say, but sin that dwells in me. My desire is to live a life that's ultimately pleasing to the Lord. I don't want to sin not even one time, but I find myself not being able to do that. So my heart, my mind, I want to serve the Lord fully. But sin that dwells in my body is preventing me from doing that. It's my responsibility. I can't say the devil made me do it. I can't say, well, it's sin that dwells in me. Paul's not trying to make any excuse. Just saying, here's where it is. Here's the problem. He's identifying the problem. And once again, what we wait for, thank God, in the future, is that we are waiting for this corrupt body that, or this body that can be given over to corruption, to die off and for God to renew it, to redeem it, and to give us a body that will no longer struggle with this. But I find myself constantly crying out, who's going to deliver? I want deliverance. I want to be delivered from this weakness, from the sin that dwells in my flesh. I want to live for the Lord, but there's a power working against me. Now, I am not saying that the body is evil. The body is neutral. Jesus Christ came in a body of flesh. So flesh is not necessarily every time you choose in the Bible to mean sinful. Because the Lord had a body, but He was not sinful at all. And Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. And now we need to present our bodies as a living sacrifice because that is where sin will want to occupy and take power and take up residence and control our life, and we would yield our members, the physical parts of our body, to sin. But now God says, yield it to Him. And we do that by allowing God's power to work in our life. We do that by John 15, abiding in Christ, and the areas that are displeasing to the Lord, He will come by and trim off. It's not as if now I just need to take control. I need God's power. And Romans 8 is going to emphasize that. It's the Holy Spirit. Through the Spirit we put to death the deeds of the body. Now we yield our bodies as instruments for God, holy, acceptable, and pleasing to Him, which is our reasonable service. And so you need to understand there's a difference between when Paul says, I no longer. So he's talking about that redeemed spirit that he has, the new creation in Christ. And the weakness is this physical body, so we need to yield it to God for His purposes and for His plans. Let it